Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Hesitates to believe in the unknowing being. We can see history, a first great country, made a lot of mistakes along the way. Now we see a dire need to believe in something greater than all the things on our minds today. How many deaths can we bear? How many tears can we cry? When will we spread our
we might try not to
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, and we're thankful and grateful to Almighty God for your presence this evening. This program, Not Just Talk, is one that was designed for encouraging a greater focus on community awareness and community obligation based upon the standards of the Holy Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. And we had a guest. I don't know whether you know, there was some personal issue. I know I've been having a few of my own, but we were looking forward to Lou Princess Aziz, the host of Keeping It Real, joining us this evening. But it appears that she's not going to be able to make it. So we will have. I'd love to have the open conversation with our callers. So we'll have a open mic Thursday, and you're welcome to share your thoughts, your reflections with the audience. So thank you for joining us. We appreciate you, and we will proceed. There's been a lot going on. I'm in Jacksonville, Florida, and as many of you know, we had a tragic incident, a shooting place here in Jacksonville, not too far from where I used to live. And it was racially motivated shooting. And it made me think, you know, we've been challenged. When I say we, I'm speaking of the African American community, the blacks. We've been challenged as a group since we were stolen from Africa, brought over here to serve the interest of mercantile business interests, interests that are solely focused on making money, oftentimes regardless of the consequences in terms of their behavior. So the establishment of chattel slavery was an event that had never been done in the history of slavery. Chattel slavery had never been instituted. And this particular focus was to empty out the humanity and have a beast of burden. And many of you know the history of that chattel slavery circumstances. But I say this, what we're seeing, we're particularly seeing it here in Florida. We have those that want to curate or to design a narrative, that is a lie. In fact, the governor of Florida's made statements. He's running for president, and he's done a lot to aggravate the social climate here in Florida, and I would say wherever his ideas are broadcast. So he came up with this idea, this narrative, that slavery served the African Americans in their personal development. And it goes along with this curated, designed narrative that, you know, there's always been slavery. Slavery is nothing new. But what he and others who propagate this idea, that chattel slavery was new, and it was barbarous, it was savage, inhumane. The Hebrew boys and girls, when we read about their sojourn in Egypt, they were treated harshly. You know, one example, that they were told that they would have to make bricks for building, but without any straw utilized to help the bricks harden and to be viable. And that's one example of what the Hebrew boys and girls had to endure. But they endured it knowing who they were. And they even endured it knowing that at some time in their belief system, in their religious system, they believed that God was going to send them a savior. And they held on to that idea. And eventually it came true, you know, that they were saved by the establishment by Almighty God of Moses as a prophet to the Hebrew boys and girls. Well, there are comparisons with that story and the story of African Americans under chattel slavery. Much more severe, much more savage, much more barbarous, because of the idea of emptying out a human being. Now today, August 31st, 2023, 21st century, we've got so much more information that is public about the human soul, the development of human psychology, issues of trauma. All of this has become more and more public, where, you know, you can hit a channel and, you know, you'll find information about how the human being develops, you know. And we're told of this idea of trauma, the effects of severe, harsh incident in the life of a person that brings on them destabilization. It affects how they see themselves and how they see the world. And oftentimes with this, you know, is guilt and shame. So we have this information now, but as a people, we've gone through a multitude of destabilizing circumstances and events, and in every area, the Negro, as we were called, and along with other names, colored and the like, the Negro was emptied out of the connection with language, history, location in terms of the origins of the family line. And this kind of emptying out destabilizes a human being and a group. And let me put it this way. I hadn't thought about this or brought this up in a while, but there were certain incidences in modern day social history. One that I think about that was very much in the news was Patty Hearst and her connection with the Seminese Liberation Army. And she was kidnapped. She was the daughter of a Mr. Hertz who had he was wealthy, and he was a publisher, a media mogul. That's one way that you could describe him. And she was kidnapped. Patty Hearst was kidnapped and pops up with this Seminese Liberation Army to rob a bank. And they overcame the people. Patty Hearst, she was saved, but she was charged with the bank robbery. And her defense was that she was she had experienced the Helsinki effect. It describes the condition where a person who, in her case, being kidnapped, she was under the influence of these bank robbers, and she was more or less brainwashed to identify with them. And there were other events in the news where a group of hostages, in a bank, another time, and when the bank robbers were overcome, the hostages went to court, and they identified with the bank robbers, and they didn't feel like they were hostages being threatened, and so this connects with what took place during chattel slavery. Even though the treatment was harsh and severe, the slaves, we see you in the queue. I'm going to complete this thought, and if you just press one again, those of you who went out of the queue, if you'll press one again, we'll bring you into the conversation. Yeah, so the slaves identify with the slave masters. And, you know, you've heard the language, the slave asking the master, "Are we sick, boss?" You know, we, connecting with the slave master, you know. We this and we the other, you know, with this connection. And it's a psychological connection of the master or the one in control of the life of the person or group of persons being in control of their life and life decisions. And so there's a bond that's created there, you know, it's an artificial bond created. So I'm going to open up the mic. We appreciate you. Again, we were looking forward to a guest this evening, and They did not show up. So it's Open Mic Thursday on Not Just Talk, 727-741. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Martha Nyla here, calling from St. Petersburg, Clearwater. I just wanted to inject the Stockholm Syndrome.
That's right. It's also called Helsinki. Yes. Uh-huh. Thank you for that. And what are your thoughts about this condition?
What?
You know, because, you know, we get this, there's another psychological technique called gaslighting, the manipulation.
Yes.
Of an individual, making them think that they're, you know, the use of their five senses and their thoughts are off, and that you know, you're on the verge of, you know, not being real, you know, you're not being connected with reality, and it's a technique used by abusive people. So again, your thinking.
Yes, on the gaslighting part too. Yes, they're actually utilizing the when you look at movies on YouTube and other things, where you look at it long enough or you hear something long enough, and then if you're in relationships and that's occurring, well, a person doesn't have to say that you're the one with the problem or you're crazy or a dud, and you begin to question yourself, and then
that's right.
Before you know it, you kind of take a back seat to making decisions because you're not sure. But praise be to Allah for those who are not dogmatic but are sincere with their relationship with Almighty God, and they're striving to, you know, and if they notice that happening too much in their life, their relationship, whether it's a mother to a child or, you know, even siblings can do that to one another. And so on, you know, regardless of the marital situation, you have that happening. But praise be to Almighty God. But going directly to what you're saying about the Stockholm Syndrome, where you began to like or see favor in your, for what is the person called? Oppressor. Start seeing
that
you're zooming in for the human connection. And because you are, then because you're not the oppressor, so your human self is intact. So your human self is going to connect with the human, well, whatever it is, and not even being manipulative, being sincerely human. And then you begin to see and find good in what their cause is, even though they're using you to make their cause come alive for them. So alhamdulillah, so to look at the years that individuals were oppressed, I mean, just the traumatizing part of being, just being snatched from, you go out from your home today and tonight you're in some other land, or you're in all this body of water, or you're squished into these positions where you can't move and you have to relieve yourself at the same time. I mean, it didn't even take, you know, the hurt, the pain, the physical hurt beyond that, just that in and of itself. And then, you know, once you get here into the conditions, the situation that was here by in the minds of those who were over you, just to imagine, and then to be expected to say, okay, turn around, go on into wherever you're going to go, and do your thing. We're releasing you. Alhamdulillah, I'll stop right here. Oh,
thank
Allah.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah. Alaikum as-salam. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Martha. The idea of gaslighting is manipulation. Manipulation of a person's psychological reality. To psychologically, it's a method that has a person questioning their own power or sanity. And it's very devious, it's devilish, it's demonic, you know, that the kind of manipulation. And when you have whether it be what, regardless of what the relationship is, you know, the healthy thing is to get away from a person who has you questioning yourself, you know, to get away. This is something that we found in the Nation of Islam reality. It created, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad created a language environment, an environment that said we were not what white people said we were, that we were better than that, and that they were less than they were claiming to be, you know, like the slave woman, Julia. She said to the masters, "You look like God in the face." Now, where did that language come from? Well, they were showing pictures of Jesus Christ, a purported picture of Jesus Christ called the Son of God. So she was telling them, "You look like God in the face, but you act like the devil in your heart." And this was well before the Nation of Islam and other people identifying the devilish behavior of Caucasians, you know. And this connection, the connection with a picture purporting to be the Son of God, has really messed us up as African-American people and is a foundational source of the inferiority that black folks are acting out today and that have acted out since that pictorial approach to brainwashing the African-American people, the black folks, was established, along with the idea that Caucasians were not Europeans, they were not English, they were not Scottish or Irish, but they were white people. This also was established during the time of chattel slavery, that white people was a way of the Europeans uniting themselves. Because when you look at the history of European interaction, you know, the British were fighting this group and that group of other Europeans that looked just like them. The War of Roses, the Hundred Year War, and the like. We have another caller, 636. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
First, assalamu alaikum. This is Kareem Hamid.
Alaikum assalam. Welcome.
Alhamdulillah. There is another strategy that is going on that I'm sure that we are aware of. You know, we hear of this organization, Tea Party. The Tea Party was a legitimate movement. They were protesting the tax system in this country.
Yeah.
Their concerns was taxation without representation. Our tax dollars are not being utilized to better the citizens of this country, and they're too high. So, all right. So that was a legitimate movement. But they were co-opted by the white nationalists and white supremacist movement. And they injected their rhetoric on the surface of that movement. The Tea Party, the original Tea Party, is no more. Likewise, with the critical race theory and also African American history, the LGBTQ community has moved to co-opt that movement, the liberation of African American people. They are trying to take that over. And what are some of the strategies that we can, I have my own, but what are some of the strategies that we can utilize nationally to disassociate ourselves from that linkage between the LGBT community and our struggle in this country? That's something I'm aware of. We need to be aware of it. There are people that are saying, well, if you are for critical race theory, then that means that you are for the LGBTQ community. They are using that because they have linked themselves so closely to the African-American struggle. So we have to come up with ways to untie that knot and make it clear that our struggle has nothing to do with your LGBTQ concerns. We are human beings, and the color of my skin is not by choice. It's not a choice. But the lifestyle that you are promoting, a lot of it is by choice. So I'd like to hear your comments on that, on how we can separate that linkage and clear the air. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Imam. Any other contributors, if you'd like to share, press one, come into the conversation. Really have been nurtured and developed by my association with Imam Worthy Muhammad and his, I considered him a mentor. We are in a climate now where we don't have that same kind of connection with each other that we had during the time of Dr. Martin Luther King and the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We have less of a sense of group identity and group connection today, in my opinion, than we did during those times of Dr. King and the dignified approach to establishing ourselves as a group, dignified and unwilling to take the inhuman labeling of us as niggers and the like, the kind of insults and refusals to recognize our common humanity that took place back during the 60s. And even before then, you know, we as African-American people have struggled, not with the lesser focus of civil rights. It's something that has been done by others curating our reality, you know, telling us what our reality was, that we wanted, you know, Dr. King and others, you know, they dressed up in dignified manner, ties and Sunday go to meeting clothing and stood up against savage attacks on the humanity of African American people. And this resistance had been going on for hundreds of years. You know, the establishment of chattel slavery was designed to say that people are not worthy of human treatment. They're animals. In fact, to us, they're less than animals because we treat our animals better than we treat these slaves, you know? And that condition was permitted. And there's a lot to be said about that, but it was Almighty God, and it is Almighty God that is giving us the courage and the proper perception of ourselves. And we have to take note of, because there's the less of a recognition of the Creator, Almighty God, connected with our condition and with our group focus. There's less of a connection. But Imam Waris Deen Muhammad brought to our condition as believers that our ancestors, many of them, enough of them to form resistance against the lies that were said about us, our ancestors, even in the darkest days of slavery, the best of them identified that it was Almighty God would change the condition of our people if we just had faith. And it was also a big test against in the human soul, to not see any kind of focus or any kind of examples of God being there and able and willing to help us as a group. And in spite of that, we were able to identify, take that white Jesus picture, and with God's help, see a white man, but to actually see themselves. Our people begin to see themselves in the connection with the way Jesus was tortured on the cross and so forth. They identified with the suffering Jesus, and they identified and connected with that that transition would take place for them, and they would be brought up by Almighty God into heaven, you know, in a heavenly state. And it's something that we should not sleep on today. You know, there are gospel songs that speak about how I got over, you know, how the Creator touched our very being, our souls, in such a way that we maintain faith and courage and resilience in the spite of great odds coming. The strategy of refusing to let black folks learn reading and writing. And so by virtue of holding back their ability to read and write, it held back their ability to be elevated by that process, because the disciplining of reading and writing lifts up the intellect of the writer and the reader. It lifts up the condition of the soul by being able to reason by way of written materials, particularly the Bible. Many of our ancestors learned to read by learning or being taught the Holy Bible. So it's an extraordinary history. And we find people now, Europeans and some African Americans, I've heard some African Americans sadly, you know, want to diminish that historical reality with a watered down version, you know, going along to get along, a watered down version of our history. And it's for Muslims, you know, Muslims who've been brought into a particular focus because of the way that the Quran, the Holy Quran, is structured and the life example of Prophet Muhammad is presented to us. Muslims are very big on reasoning, sensibilities, universal ideas that connect the human family. We have a different worldview than the many who were brought up on ideas of being born in sin and the like, and the necessity of someone outside of ourselves saving us. Let's see what our CWSC executive director has to say. Welcome back, Martha Nyla.
Yes, well, Michael, greetings of peace again to everyone.
Again,
what crossed my mind is you were...
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you so much. What crossed my mind as you were speaking is that the overwhelming effect of what's happening today, I say today, in the suspect murderous syndrome going on. And even though when they say, well, others are being killed too, but the African-Americans are, I believe, as a target to send that same message of fear. And that way the fear will be so overwhelming till we will turn around, just like you just said, we will turn around and we won't realize it, but we will be befriending those who we do have a good relations with, and it will be like a pat on the shoulder kind of thing, because we don't want to rough in the waters, or we don't want to put everyone in the same container. But the reality is for those who are manipulating, it's a mindset that is overcoming the whole United States. I'm just putting it right here, the whole United States. And that fear will be such that, you know, if I was fearful of it, I could see where I would just say, you know, I don't even see any worthiness in even voting for anyone, because it's going to... You know, where is the help that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the mind to go into certain things and find out and, you know, go through the detailed process, unwrap certain things rather than allow people to cover it up and then we just, you know, knock on the door but don't even get the entrance. So, you know, alhamdulillah, but I'm not afraid. But for the many that are, they may not turn out the polls to vote. They may not send in their ballots because it was saying, you know, how the young lady, the mother and the daughter, was treated. And to have someone to appear as though they're mightier than might and have all these connections appearing, to have these connections of those who will do anything, then you figure, my goodness, well, it's an underground thing happening here, and we don't even know. It's a molehill situation going on. And it just crop up in different places and do different things and make people are being sacrificed at the whim of those who want to manipulate and put in the fear in the heart and mind. I'll stop right there. Thank you, Michael.
Assalamu alaikum. Don't go away.
Okay.
Yes. But, again, we need to really revisit and what they have called out there in the public, you know, flip the script. The history of our sojourn here in America is remarkable in terms of human life and human history, and our not giving up our common humanity, and finding allies. I mentioned to an audience that the message to the black man, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, identified a quote from a Virginia legislator, Henry Berry, I believe his name is. And there's a quote from him that speaks about how the Caucasian slave owners had done everything that they could possibly do to try to keep the light, the light of human perception and humanity from the slaves. Okay, so recently, not too long ago, I pulled up this legislator, Henry Berry, and found out that he was in a debate, and the issue of the debate was whether or not they should do away with slavery in Virginia. And this man that's quoted from Message to the Black Man, Henry Berry, was a slave owner. But he was on the side of the debate that was saying that, look, this slavery issue is an issue that's going to be a big problem for us. We need to find a way to gradually do away with slavery. And it was phenomenal. And the very focus of bringing this debate up came after Nat Turner's revolt. Turner Uprising was the reason for this bringing up this issue of whether or not slavery should continue. And the quote from Message to the Black Man was actually a debate strategy, establishing their power over the slaves. But then later on in his presentation, he asked the question, do you think that the slaves seeing us living and operating as free men and women, do you think that they're not going to want this? You know? So he was actually, you know, after saying what they had done in terms of keeping the slaves thinking down, pressed, he was actually saying, these people are human too. You know, it's human to see someone exercising something of value and for them not to want that. That's a human trait, you know, to want what others have of value. So I'll stop there, but and we're going to open up the mic to 706. But before I do that, I'm sorry, I'm way behind on public service announcements. So we're going to make this public service announcement, and then we'll be back with the caller. My I'm a little slow on the draw here this evening. Here we go. No.
Assalamu alaikum.
No. Sorry. Here we go.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, rahimahullah alay, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our communities and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And we're back with more of Not Just Talk. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, and we're glad to have you with us. This is another open mic Thursday, and hopefully when we return, we'll be able to connect with the host host of Keeping It Real, Lou Princess Aziz, you know. So 706, welcome to Not Just Talk. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad.
Alaikum assalam. Alaikum
assalam. From the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. Maybe two things.
Come on,
yeah. Two things when I was listening to you talking. I said, wow, when we really look into the guys Allah was saying, he said, verily, we look at him like he's small. You know, we have a small concept of him. And that made me think about it. I said, yeah, because Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the only way is to see into the heart and mind of a man who accepts, if you're going to have a slave, make sure your slave has clean water, clean clothes, the same food that he grows for you to eat, except it takes a mind of a one who knows or under the impression for years that he owns another human being and don't have to do nothing for him, but in his heart he wants to be just, be in accord with his natural inclination, that when he hear what Prophet Muhammad said, how to abolish slavery is to help your slave become equal. What they call it nowadays, equal opportunity in work.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Just because a person works for you, you try to put him or her in a position first to live a life of freedom so that they can think on maybe better ways of how to make you even richer. In return, mm-hmm. you let him get richer. You know, and if we do help each other to be successful and to have equal opportunity to worship Allah to the best of our ability, hey, it don't get no more justice, that's true justice. Person serve Allah in a way that's in his or her heart and intellect, but still make sure, like Imam Muhammad said in closing, he said, our job is to make sure every human being we run into have a right to know the truth so that they can make the best decision for themselves.
Yes.
I just want to say that.
Thank you so much, Alhamdulillah. Yeah, we appreciate that. Brother Muhammad, we're going to open up the line again for to share 401. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Angela Marie from North Providence, Rhode Island. You know what? That's
alaikum
not really
assalam.
True. They might want
really.
Us to have justice, but let me tell you, you know what they did to George Washington Carver? They knew that he was very smart. He gave a lot to this society in many ways, but he worked in the slave master's house. And he was the right-hand man to the slave master. But the slave master was afraid that he would molest their children or their wives. The slave master castrated George Washington Carver so he couldn't have no children. And you know
Sister Angela, as I understand the history, it took place upon his being kidnapped. That was done outside of his slave master's house, according to the narrative. In that house, he was treated well, but when he was kidnapped, this took place, as I understand it. But you're right. But you are right about the castration.
But you know what they want? They can say that, but you know what they are still doing? Our children that go into we have them in Catholic hospitals, like Mary Immaculate that used to be over in Jamaica, and Brooklyn Jewish Hospital that used to be on Prospect Place in Brooklyn. Do you know they sterilize our Muslim children at birth? Yes, because they hate Muslims. Yes. That happened to both of my sons. And Mary Immaculate Hospital, and Brooklyn Jewish Hospital. Assalamu alaikum. Mm.
Thank you. Thank you, sister. Alaikum assalam. Yes, there's so many narratives in terms of our sojourn here in America. Frederick Douglass talked about the behavior that we have observed of in treatment of African Americans. He described it as a behavior, a treatment that would shame a nation of savages. And I thought about that kind of, he was being very, he was being very diplomatic, so to speak. But the history of that behavior is the behavior of savages. And the language that he used, how it would shame a nation of savages. During that time period, there was very little public identification of that behavior being savage and shameful. But there was such a grip of violence upon any Europeans that would have a kind word to say about us. You know, I had a book. I can't remember the name of it, but it identified the treatment of Caucasians that were agreeable and respectful of blacks as being worthy of human treatment, and these Caucasians were tarred and feathered, properties taken from them, and the like. So a kind of terroristic approach on any that would say a kind word or give kind actions towards the slaves. You know, there were behaviors against their own to keep them in line with the focus of savage behavior and treatment against the slaves. Martha, I left your mic open. So if you have anything you'd like to share, I ask you to rejoin.
Yes. Thank you so much, Mike. I want to inject the part on when you want to incriminate people or a person, you defame them. You bring out character traits that everyone looking at and they may see something faulty about you, and then the more others are building upon that fault finding, and before you know it, then you're so minimal in people's eyes till you're no longer there. They see you and don't see you. And so that's what happened, you know, the language that was used to characterize us as a person and beautifully spoken, Imam Warthi Muhammad Rahim Allah, you know, is saying, look at the creation as this. When you see the dark complexions or even the shading of the dark, then you're seeing the nature, the natural disposition of everybody, the innocence. And when you see the light, you're seeing the intelligence. If we could get to that point, our praise be to Allah. I mean, they look at the beauty of that. And so the newness of we are a new people, I don't think the LGBTQ can say that we are a new people. When Kareem was saying about, you know, and I'm thinking on that, and I'm saying we are a new people committed. We're committed to, and I won't just say remake the world, but to strive for human excellence. So now, anyone else, if they're not able to live up to that, that's only for the level of thinking that an individual can strive for human excellence. But the ones who can say we are a new people, you know, that identifies only a certain to be a philosophy for our life. And we began to continue to work and improve upon that work that we're doing. Alhamdulillah.
Yes.
As-salamu alaykum.
Yes. Yes, thank you. I'm recently reading something that was shared with me by Imam Ronald Shaheed. Imam Muhammad's focus on community life. And Brother Muhammad, I see you. I'm going to bring you in just one moment. It says, so I pray Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that some of you will earn Allah's blessings or have already earned. You don't know. Maybe there is one or two of you sitting right here who has already earned the love of God, and he's going to work with you and show you things that you can't find by yourself. That is what I hope we will have. This community must have leaders who are inspired and helped by God. If you are just a student, that's not good enough to be the leader of this community. You have to be loved by God, and he has to be with you and inspire you. Then you can be a leader of this community. Any religious community that really knows God and his ways, they will recognize you. They will respect you and will love you. Do I think the Muslim youth should contribute as much time to Al-Islam or to the community in Islam as the elders? Should they do dawah? Most elders not doing this work. Imam Muhammad, like the elders. Okay, that's a good question. Most of the persons you call the elders are not doing this work. Only a few of them are doing this work. I think we must have youngsters, teenagers, coming forward, being invited, first of all, to come forward and carry on the work that I'm doing, like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam had us come forward to carry on that work. That is why we are here. I'm going to stop there and open up the mic for our brother. Brother Muhammad, welcome back. Just a minute. It's one more. Here we go. All right. Welcome back.
I was just saying, I said that we sometimes sit back and look at the vision. Now, we know that from 1933, the United States government, some men, some of them might be still living now. They might be, about 101, 100 years old. But they've been here all the time, and they have watched the development of how Allah has blessed this development of from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to Honorable Elijah Muhammad's son all the way up to where we are now. And we have Muslims who have been around since 46, 38. We got people who have watched Al-Islam, probably embraced it, but have been silent about it because of still, Allah Alam, they have not overcome the fear of making a public declaration that they believe the way they've seen the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's son grow up. There's a whole lot of personal visions that if we just sit back sometime and just reflect about it, that there's human beings walking around right now who've seen everything we've been going through. Some of them are, 98, 91? It wouldn't surprise me that we might have a couple of believers in our community and have been through our experience for the last 100 years, but have not been able to tell this story of how they've seen Allah bring us from nothing to where we are now, and probably could sit down if we have, sure. Give you a real example, then I close out. Just say if we had sure and we had a bunch of 90, 95-year-old, 100-year-old Muslims scared to come and tell us the history, the true history of what Allah has done for us, and that Allah is God. Tell us all about Imam Muhammad. Some people know about Imam Muhammad periodically from his cradle till Allah called him back. They actually watch his development. They have no doubt in their mind that Allah blessed that human being to be who he was. And the same way about us. We have a witness. We have angels that have been with us before we were created, and then when Allah brought us into existence in our reality that we is, those angels have been with us and been telling us right and wrong all the way up until right now.
Thank you, Muhammad. We've got a couple more callers.
Sit down and reflect. If we sit down and reflect sometime, we won't have any doubt about who we are, what we're going to be doing, and go hit, get ready to go hit on, go to work.
Thank you, Muhammad.
Just want to say that.
Assalamu alaikum. Appreciate it. We've got caller 321. State your name and where you're calling from. Welcome.
Yes, assalamu alaikum to Lacey Mel, Florida.
Welcome.
Yes, thanks, Michael, and appreciate the program, and peace and blessings to the listeners, et cetera, Brother Muhammad and all. I just had a couple of questions and a comment. One comment. The question is, which book was that where you were reading from? And the comment is, the imam pointed out something so profound that the energy and enthusiasm I would say the time, even the time situation is in the youth and our youth, cultivating the youth. Thought it was so important that he pointed out that we need inspired leaders. We need people, we need leaders that Allah loves, that Allah loves them. And, you know, there's a hadith that they say when Allah loves a person, he says to the angels, I love that person, and you love him also. And then the angels talk to the creation, Allah loves so and so, you love him also. So this idea of inspired leadership is in the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and in our Islamic language, and it's there for all times for us to let us know that we need to seek Allah's pleasure, His love, pleasure.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And that was not a book. It's a lecture on community that Imam Ronald Shaheed shared with me, and I'll get it to you. I'm going to read a little bit more from it before we close out, and we're going to bring our brother Bilal. You disappeared, brother Bilal. Press one again so we can bring you into the talk. And that's your number, Bilal Abdullah. Welcome. What do you got for us? Are you on mute, Bilal? We're not hearing you. You're on mute. Bilal, still not hearing you. Can you unmute your phone? Okay. He had to disconnect. Well, look, I'm going to read a little bit more after we take this public service announcement break. We'll be back and share a little bit more about this lecture.
Enjoying the program you're listening to and imagining being part of a solution? You don't have to imagine. Now, wherever you live, wherever you work, you can go beyond the dialogue and network with others committed to being part of the solution. CWSC and AM360 connect you to the Model Communities National Resource Directory. Register your skills, knowledge, and abilities today at CWSC.us. Because words make people, but it will take people to remake the world.
I love that one. And we're back with more of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. We invite those who are listening by way of the World Wide Web Internet to call in at 515-605-9891. Again, 515-605-9891. We'd like to hear from you. And I'm going to read a little bit more of this lecture on community by Imam Muhammad. We're obligated to deposit what we have in those who will outlive us. We are obligated to deposit what we have in those who will outlive us, and you should be obligated to learn it. Some of you should feel an obligation on yourself. If you love God, you love this religion and the prophet of this religion, prayers and peace be upon him, to learn what we have so that you can carry it on as we are doing, and so that you will be able to do what we are doing and improve upon it in the future. Al-Islam is always ready to advance us and to make us better. I don't care how much we do in our lifetime. We want to see youngsters inherit our work and do better and do more. That is what we want. So yes, I think you all should be as much involved as the grown-ups and the old folks in this community. You should be as much involved as they are. Under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and this is not just the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Muhammad's Nation of Islam, I mentioned that because that is our past experience. We are aware of what happened in the past. I have visited ethnic Muslim communities in different parts of the world. I have visited their schools and have seen their youngsters in elementary school, preschool, and high school. I've seen their college students, and I've been invited to address their students. They have youngsters preparing themselves to step right into the positions of leadership. They're not having old men dying off and not having youngsters getting that knowledge while those older men are still alive, still living. Imam Kuftaro, the Grand Mufti of Syria, is an old man. He's passed now. May Allah forgive him his sins and grant him paradise. Continuing, he must be 80 years old, and again, he's past return to Allah. He has had bad physical problems for a long time with his legs. He can hardly walk. In fact, I walked with him many times with him leaning on me. He has a cane, and he leaned on me, and he is much older than I am. But every week he goes out, and he addresses his students, the believers, men and women also. I saw when I was there that he addressed them, and he meets privately at home and other places with those who are interested in the Abu Nur Mosque, and they are all excited about meeting with him. He met with me and shared a lot of his knowledge, so he is even interested in helping the world. He's been to Japan, he's been all over the world, and he has students outside of Syria, and many of them are in other parts of the world. I love that man very much. He's a wonderful man. So should we be any different? We should care about what we are doing. And I'm going to stop there. Again, this is a lecture focused on community. And the Imam has brought to our attention that we have an obligation to identify those that are younger than us, to put into them the awareness of the obligation that God puts on our souls to continue this work of building community life and sharing ideas that will not only help us, but will help our neighbors, that will help our family members outside of our Islamic Association. But we want to share this with any and all that are open to it. Challenge of human life, the establishment of excellent human life, and working towards a better social life, a better societal life, a better state and United States, and a better world. So praise be to Allah. We are fired by these words. You know, in a time of doom and gloom and the propagation of fear and lack, you know, we have to trust the words of Almighty God, Allah, that He is in control, and He's never been out of the controls of the creation that He brought into being, moving forward as He would have it to move forward, allowing the selfish reign of world leadership, allowing them to do all that they can, you know, have their last hurrah, but clearly telling the believing men and women, and not just the Muslim believing men, telling the believing men and women of the world that He's in charge and there's a new day. And for those who are sensitive, have the sensitivities developed by Scripture, you can see the works of Almighty God taking place. Well, mister, why did God allow those folks in your city, Jacksonville, to be killed by that crazy man? Well, the effects of his mindset, you know, they shared a little of how this young man was thinking. And it's the thoughts. It's the thoughts in the minds of those that see themselves as being superior. And here's the question. If these people, these Caucasians, these whites are so superior, why do they go, or why have they gone through, and why do they go through such extreme terms of proving to themselves that they're superior? If they're, you know, if you're better than a person, you know, the person's own inferiority is going to set them back and set them out as being unworthy in terms of how their life struggle. But if they're inferior, why are you giving your attention, you know, so much attention and energy and violence to suppressing them, if that was the case? Well, I think common sense will answer that question. Behavior is the behavior of a person who really, in their souls, see themselves as not being superior. And the contradictions in their own life inviting them to self-destructive behavior, because, you know, this young man's life, after he killed those innocent people, this young man ended his own life. So, I mean, that says volumes to me. We see you, caller 504, I believe this is Bilal Abdullah. Welcome.
Alhamdulillah.
What do you got for it?
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalam.
Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Everything that goes on in the environment, that Allah is in charge, and a great realization that we have is that we're not really in charge of ourselves. once you give out itself over to Allah, an example that he left for us, Prophet Muhammad, and people with good knowledge and good experiences. So we thank Allah for that, and we realize that it's just things that we can't even do for our own self, let alone for somebody else, or even just telling somebody something that they would understand that. So all of this is in Allah's hand, and what we do, we make efforts. So praise be to Allah for our efforts. This is something I wrote I'd like to share. Spiritual stimulation. Let's build our most needed institutions. It's a mathological conclusion. Quran, the correction, private salvation, rational leadership for proper worship, or world lost from the guidance that is in their nature, constantly denying God's favor. Prophets and messenger came. Most of the people got worse or remained the same. So-called preachers, ministers, and bishops still playing games, pimping and hustling the mentally, intellectually, and economically insane. Got them dancing to the band. Ties and more ties. A lot of deception and lies. People's money going by and by. Economic suicide. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you, Bilal. Alhamdulillah. Well, if there are no other members of the audience that wish to share, we're right at the conclusion of our time. We do have a little overtime. If you'd like to go on, press 1. Press 1 to come into the queue. If not, we'll just close out with a dua. O Allah, guide us among those you've guided aright. Save us among those you save. Bless us in whatever you grant us and deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge and none can judge against you, and those whom you befriend are not disgraced. Ameen. Dear audience, thank you for joining us. Join us next week. Hopefully we'll have our intended guest for this evening, next Thursday, new Princess Aziz. But we thank you, and we're going to sign out with In God We Trust. Assalamu alaikum.